share a word of encouragement to you. I've not shared it anywhere. Maybe I've shared about the title, but it's a new word to you. Amen. I want to share with you about how to fight and win battles that matter in life. How to fight and win the battles that matter in life. There are many people who are engaged in battles. And we know that battles are there. We are engaged in a battle. Since the day you received the Lord as your personal savior, you entered into a spiritual battle. You enlisted into a war. And that is what is going on every day. And many, many soldiers of the cross, many, many soldiers of the Lord have just been fallen down because they don't know what they need to expect. Many giants have been knocked down because of fear and because of not knowing how much God wants from them. What I have come to tell you today as a church, you need to know you are powerful. Do you know how powerful you really are as a man of God or a woman of God? Do you know how powerful you are? God wants you to fight your battles and win them. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with the perseverance and the supplication for all saints." This was a scripture in the book of Ephesians given by Paul to encourage the believers in the Ephesian church. They were going through challenges. They were going through hard times. And they were like, some of them were almost trying to backslide and leave the work of God, because they thought like they are walking in circles and nothing was going on. But God encouraged Paul to write to them and tell them, it is not time to give up. It's time to dress up like a soldier. Amen. It's a time to put on the whole armor. It's a time to hammer yourself. And today I'm encouraging you that it is not time to give up. It is not time to cry. It's not time to say that things are hard and begin to worry a lot. It's a time to hammer yourself. Praise the Lord. How can we Fight and win the battles that matter in life. There are people who fight things that don't matter. When you are engaged on what matters, it's very important. Do you know how powerful you really are as a Christian? You may sometimes feel weak in the face of life's demands and pressures. But God has created you in His image, placing the powerful heart of a warrior within you. There is the heart of a warrior within you. And you have been made to fight for what is right. That is what you are made to fight for. God brought you up for that. To fight for that what matters and what is right. It is only when you take on the battles that God wants you to fight about issues that have eternal value that you can truly come alive as a man and a woman of God. God wants to stir up the spirit of a warrior within you. Don't let it be suppressed. Don't let it be brought into subjection by the worries and the cares of this life, by the challenges you go through, by the people who just speak negative about you. Don't let it be suppressed. Praise the Lord. Here is how you can fight and win the battles that matter most. But before I share about that, I was brought up in a village, and thank God we have a man here who knows the village I was born from. It's a humble village, and I decided to choose my battles. Life was not very easy. Because of selectively choosing the battles that add value to my life, that's how I was able to connect up and come out of that village, dark village that had no electricity, village that had no running water, a village that was just without any means of infrastructure. And God took me up through the eagle's wings to connect into the city. First of all, I met with my wife Sarah in the city of Nairobi, which is 400 kilometers or 290 miles away from my village where I was born. I came over to study the Word of God in the Bible College. I struggled with my youth and overcoming the weaknesses of my life to be able to serve the Lord. And I connected with this woman, and we were able to fight for the right cause. We were engaged in the right cause. That's how we were able to get connected to the world and visit and plant churches, and also be trained for the work that God called us for. Before you are able to fight and win the battles that matter most, I want you to know the first thing: join the spiritual war around you. Join and enlist into the spiritual war around you. We have a lot of things going on in our community in Tuolumne. We have a lot of things going on in Calaveras County. We have a lot of things going on around Sonora. We need to join the spiritual war around us. What should we fight for? What should we fight? Are we going to fight one another? Are we going to fight things that don't hand value to the Christian life? What are we fighting? A war between good and evil. Signs of the spiritual realm is taking place around you every day. If you don't actively engage in spiritual battles, you're especially vulnerable to evil attacks that can harm you and negatively impact every part of your life. We have to be part of what God is doing in this community. God wants this community to be completely turned to the Lord. I heard that in this city alone of Sonora, there is over 6,000 people. But if you count the number of people who are in the church, it's only like 2,000 or 3,000. The whole half of Sonora has not received Jesus. They don't go to church. They are unchurched. We need to join the spiritual war around us and be able to reach the communities. Amen? Amen. Don't settle for sitting on the sidelines of fights when God wants you to be on the front lines, helping to overcome evil with good. God wants you in the front line. Don't settle for sitting on the sidelines of the fight. God wants you to be in the front. Amen? Amen. This is not your time to back off. This is not the time for you to say, I'm not the one. This is not the time for you to say, I don't deserve it. It is time for you to go in front. Amen? Maybe you say, I don't have money. Maybe you say, I don't have what it takes to do this. But God says it is now. And the opportunity is already ripe for you to do it. Praise the Lord. Rather than focusing on your weaknesses, focus on God, who stands ready to empower you to strong in every battle you face. Battles will come. Whenever you just stand for the right cause, and whenever you arrive to the thing you want to do, you will see what battles will come. When the children of Israel arrived, crossed the Red Sea, and arrived at Rephidim in Exodus chapter 17, the Bible says the Amalekites came to fight them. And do you know the secret of Moses? Moses was not a coward. Moses was not a kind of people who say, this is not the will of God for us to take this journey. He just turned in Joshua and go to the field with the warriors. And I will go up together with Aaron and her to the mountain. And we are going to draw power from heaven. We will draw power from there. And you will be able to fight this battle. Do you know how you will win the battles in your life? It's by going on the mountain. Amen. Amen. Let Joshua go with the sword to the field, but the greatest battle winning is on the top of the hill. The business was on the mountain. Amen. Joshua thought that the sword was doing the job in the field, but I tell you, it was the man of God in the mountain that was doing it. Amen? Amen? Many times we want to take the sword and go to the battle very quickly without thinking about what about the mountain. Moses went to the mountain and lifted the hands up. Yeah. Lifted the hands up. And when the hands were up, Israel were thriving, prevailing. They were prevailing and going on. And Joshua was just in the field. He didn't know what's going on in the mountain, but he could see success. Amen? We need prayer warriors in the church, men and women who will not cease to pray for the breakthrough, for the open door, for the church to be filled up, for an anointing to rise in a mighty way. Amen? People will not stop. Praise the Lord. Maybe you are not going to go to the field to fight like Joshua and like the warriors, but go to the mountain. Lift up your hand. The Bible says, when Moses lifted his hands, Israel prevailed. When he brought his hands down, his Amalekites prevailed. So Aaron and Hur, they took off a stone and made him to sit on top of it in Exodus 17. And then they also lifted to his hands so that they will never come down. We need one another. Pastor Deborah needs you. And she needs you so that this church will become great success. Praise the Lord. We need to lift each other's hands. We need to support each other. The ministry in Kenya needs you, not even to come, but only to hold our hands. Amen? Amen. We need to hold each other's hands. And when we learn this secret, We will win our battles. Praise the Lord. We will win our battles. Rather than focusing on your weakness, focus on God, not about you. Pray for the courage and help you need to fight spiritual battles every day. As you do so, expecting God to transform you into a stronger man or a woman who becomes more like Jesus Christ every day. Pray. Look beyond the immediate concerns of your own life. Don't look at the concerns, you know, my health, you know, my family, you know, my circumstances right now. Don't worry about those. Don't look at your concerns. Look beyond the immediate concerns of your own life and take advantage of the opportunities God has given you to fight for causes that are more far-reaching significance. Amen. 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 Fight for causes that are greater than yourself. Causes that are greater than yourself. And such as integrity, you have to pray God to give you integrity, God to give you courage, justice, compassion, and spiritual truth. Those are the things we need to have. Put your God-given strength to use in the world. God has given you strength. God has given you power. Use it. Use it. Putting God's given strength into use. Don't waste the gift that God has given you to use in serving Him. Don't waste it. Don't let it be misused by people who don't know what you are doing. Use it. Praise the Lord. Are you a prophet? Prophesy. Are you a praise and worship leader? Do it. Are you gifted in teaching? Teach. Are you gifted in pastoring? Pastor, praise the Lord. Use the gift. Are you gifted in keeping the church property good and making the altar of the Lord look beautiful? Do it. Don't stop. Don't waste the gift that God has given you to use in serving Him and loving the people around you. Love people. Amen. Pray for the wisdom to discern the best specific ways you can put your gifts into action to make the world a better place than you found it. Just pray for wisdom to discern. Discernment is important. Amen. There was a time when the Lord wanted me to do something, and I was a college principal, serving God in a big college as a principal. It was a seminary, training pastors and ushering them out for every year. And I stayed in that college for 15 years. And after 15 years, the Lord came to me 5 years ago, spoke to me and my wife, and He told me, this is the time for you to come out and go to the village. And you know, I know the village I came from. It was impoverished, it was poor, and there were a lot of challenges. I said, this is not the voice of God. This is the voice of the devil, because he wants to take me back to where I started again. I felt like, no. Going to the village is like telling me, go back to where you began. Lose everything that you have and start over again. I said, no, God, why do you want to say this? I told my wife, she told me, pray again. And then I said, oh God, what is this? Then I was compelled by God, you have to do it. It was my, you know, there are times when you are in leadership, when everything becomes so comfortable, and you are the top man, and you are in church, and my wife was there helping me. We were just taking care of a very wonderful college in Nairobi. Kenya, the capital city. And I was working with the missionaries from South California. They were coming and leaving me even to the calling. They told me, Pastor Richard, we trust you. You can do everything and administrate everything. We will be coming every 6 months to check on you. So I was like, now after that year when God told me to come out, was a year when everything was trusted to me and I was doing very well. My children were going to a very good school, and I was blessed. I was also under an offering that was so good to our family. I was being given every month. I said, God, this is not you. I don't have any problem with anybody in this institution. Everybody wants me here. And even when I shared with the first-year students, they told me, never try to come out of this college when we are in the first year. Wait for us to graduate. I felt the need. I was attached to the college. And the Lord told me, come out. I want him back to the village. I had known a lot of people, and I had known a lot of missionaries outside in Kenya and outside the country, but I didn't know what the Lord wants to do. How can I go to the village? I told my wife told me, I think God wants you to do something. You have to do whatever he has told you, but make sure it is the Lord, because you know we have children and we have a lot of things. You are going to quit some income that we are getting here. So what happened? I wrote a letter. I loved my administrator very much. And I said, oh my God, I don't know whether I will hand over this resignation letter while she is looking at me. She was leaving to go to the airport. And she told me, you are the one to take me to the airport. And I said, oh my God, I know God has spoken to me, but I can't look at it telling my boss that I have to leave. And so I had written a letter. I told her, go and read it at the airport. I want her to go away with that letter and not to be closer to me, to read around me or ask me a question, because I don't know what I will say. So I gave the letter out, and she went with it and ran and said, oh my God, you can't go anywhere. She couldn't come out of the airport because she had to go. She has already gone in. So she sent another friend and told her, take that, Brother Richard to a breakfast and see whether they are really serious. What is he talking about? I told her, it's the Lord. They told me, we don't think it's the Lord. We need you here so much. So anyway, to cut a long story short, they let me go, but very unwillingly. And after I was released for 15 years, having served to that college, I went out without knowing where I am going. But immediately I went out, I got new connections. One thing that surprised me, I was under salary, but another person called me and told me, I have heard you have left the college and you are going to the village to serve God there. I want to support you. I was getting $150 for our support in Kenya. And then he told me, I'm giving $300 to work in the village and do something for you as you serve the village. Just to support your family. $300 was double of what I was getting in the Bible college. Another thing that happened is that people came over, and the church started also giving in the city more money than I had ever expected. And then the college told me, you don't have a car. What we are going to do, the car you have been driving here and using for the work here, we don't need that car anymore. We don't want you to go and walk with your children without having anything. Take the car with you. It was Subaru, a Leon. And I got a Subaru to go together with me, which was just very free. Praise the Lord. That's how God can do when you listen to him. things went, and we just found ourselves leading an organization called Destiny Community Church that was registered in Kenya, and that's the organization we are working with right now. And now we have 15 churches. Now we have several pastors working under us, and things are going on. God opened those new doors. So when we know, we pray for wisdom to discern the best specific ways you can put your gifts into action to make the world a better place. God will always do it for you. Amen. Doors opened to come to America and visit, connect with different people in all the parts of California. We have been to Texas. We have been to Virginia. We have been to Seattle, Washington. We have been to many other places, and we have found God doing great work in the kingdom by just obeying. You have to know the battles you have to fight. Fight against three dangerous attitudes if you want to serve God better. Number one, you have to fight through to fight lust. Fight lust. L-U-S-T. Lust says, I want it. Lust says, it is mine, I want it. You have to fight that. Number two, enemy to fight in your life as a Christian is entitlement. You have to fight the spirit of entitlement. Entitlement says, I deserve it. I deserve it. Praise the Lord, it's mine. I deserve it. Entitlement. We have to overcome the spirit of entitlement. Number two, and number three, you have to fight pride. Pride says, I can handle it. You have to overcome pride. But these three attitudes are spiritually dangerous because they can trick you into trending the power of God as that has given you for the temptations that can lead you to sin and weaken yourself. We have to overcome them and fight against those attitudes by humbling and meeting the reality of your human vulnerability and weaknesses and relying on God's strength in every situation. Let God do it for you. Give God everything. Give God your family. Let your marriage be only for God, your health. Maybe you have challenges with your own health. God is able to take care of your health if you give him. Fight against those attitudes and meeting the reality of your human vulnerabilities. Fight lust by wanting God more than anything else. Yeah, you just want God. Amen. Yeah. You just want him more. Yeah. Yes. Fight entitlement by keeping in mind that the only thing you truly deserve as a sinner is death. Yeah. But God has graciously given you life and blessings that you don't deserve because of Jesus' death on the cross for your sins. Entitlement. Tell him you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. It is given freely. It is the favor of God. Amen. Fight pride by recognizing that you can't really handle any situation without God's help. Choose to be led by the Holy Spirit rather than by your emotions. Many times emotions can lead us and to dangerous places. Let the Holy Spirit be our leader and take care of us. Your emotions are unreliable because they reflect only limited perspective on your life. They are constantly changing according to your circumstances. But you can always rely on the Holy Spirit to give you reliable guidance that reflects God's complete and unchanging wisdom. So, refuse to base your daily decisions on emotions such as anger, pride, anxiety, and sorrow. Do not let emotions decide for you. Refuse to base your daily decisions on emotions. People who are controlled by emotions, they don't accomplish anything. Only men and women who are led by the Holy Spirit are men who can do it. Amen? Yeah. Emotional people, they look like they are going somewhere, but look at their tomorrow. You will find them nowhere. Praise the Lord. Instead of being led by emotions, ask the Holy Spirit to meet you where you are and give you the wisdom you need in every situation. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. Watch out for small compromises that can lead to big destruction. Don't compromise. We are living at a time when people are compromising. Even in Africa, you will find pastors trying to compromise. They try to say this is, doesn't matter. God is still God. But we don't need to compromise. We need to know that God is with us. Watch for small compromises. Whenever you face the temptation to make small moral compromise, remember that in doing so sets you ending in the wrong direction in life. Make it easier to gradually move further away from God until you find yourself sinning in bigger ways than can destroy you. That can destroy you. Make sure you avoid them. Avoid small compromise as often as you can. Amen? Amen. Avoid them. And after you make a mistake, because you can make a mistake, you are not infallible. You are a man. You are a woman. You are a human being. Correct your course and as soon as possible by confessing your sin, repenting of it, receiving God's forgiveness and help to become this to overcome the sin in your life. God has given us a way of repentance. Repentant Christian is a blessed Christian. A forgiven Christian is a great Christian. Praise the Lord. I thank God because I'm forgiven. I thank God because I'm not walking in the guilt of the past. I thank God because I'm not carrying the baggage of my sinful nature. I'm a blessed man. Praise the Lord. Choose your battles wisely. Don't fight everything. Amen. There are battles to refuse. You the battles you just ignore. Choose your battles wisely. Rather than depleting your energy and time fighting battles that don't have eternal value, such as seeing how well you can play a sport or how fast you can rise up the corporate ladder, focus most of your strength on leading the people around you into righteousness. Let them know God. Don't let anybody sidetrack you or confuse you with battles that add no value to your life. Amen? Or your family. Or your business. Amen? Amen. Don't settle from being strong at what doesn't last and weak at what does last. Fight for what matters most. Amen? In my Christian walk as a pastor, I've been a pastor like for 20 years. Yes, 20 years I've been a pastor. And I have come to realize battles will come and the battles you just don't need to fight. Amen? In my Christian life, I've started churches, but later somebody comes and takes it away from me. I've lost like 3 churches. When I was young and very young and I was engaged to my wife, Sarah, God enabled me to begin a wonderful church. I was a young man and married and I was under another organization. And when I started the church, it was wonderful. We roofed it. It was a good church like this one. In fact, it was almost this size and it was filled up. And my wife, in fact, I started the church closer to my wife's community because I come 290 miles away from her. I started a church over there. When I came to their village and then people got to know me, we started a church. So after the church was grown and it was good, and I was not yet married, I was going to marry her in October, and the overseer came over, he told me, you know, you are so young, and as a young man and you are getting married, you need to hand over this church to another man so that he can take care of you before you get married. I didn't know, I was so young, I didn't know that I would never get this church back again. So I told him, yeah, you can do whatever you see good and it will be wonderful. By then I was also moving to go to another village to start a Bible college, or to lead a Bible college as one of the leaders. So what happened, I gave it to another pastor, and the pastor, I tell you, he never came out of that church. And I was never even invited to speak in the same church. He won the heart of the people, and it was gone. I thought this is the end of my ministry, and I should not be a pastor anymore. But the Lord continued to lead me to start another church. Then the second church that was taken away, I was working with another ministry, and then the Lord called me. As I told you, when the Lord called me to go to the village, I had a church that had started in the village and another organization. And then the Lord called me to go back to that village. I went there and I thought, this is the church we are going to start everything with. This is the church we are going to work on. I raised a pastor. I trained him. I took him to the college. And he never wanted to be a pastor, but I told him, this is what the Lord wants you to do, and God wants you to be a pastor here. And he told me, no, unless you stand with me. I told him, yes, I will stand with you. And this is what God wants to do. And when he grew and became mature to stand with his own feet, when I came back again, I told him, God spoke to me to move out from this organization and start working with another way in the village to reach the community. He told me, I have not heard from the Lord, and I think we are going to remain behind and stay here. So the Lord told me, don't fight him. Don't try to fight him. The members and everybody, if I needed to take over the church, I could have gone in and tell him, come out. And I will take over and continue. But I could not do that. I told him, if you are not feeling like going with me, I am not going to intimidate you or tell you to go with me. Just remain where you want to be. When I left in that area, God provided money from nowhere. I don't know how money came to our hands. We bought another property somewhere. And when we bought the property, that is the church John Houston went to visit. And that's the church that is doing a lot of work in that community. Because God provided a church that was not even brought in by the offering of the villagers. It was brought in by the offering from a far country. And it was constructed and set. And that's where we are doing the foundation of Destiny Community Church. What about if I had fought that guy? What about if I had tried to take over that ministry? I would have lost my name in that community. I would have lost the focus of reaching out as God wanted to do. I took it. Praise the Lord. And I saw great work going on. What am I trying to say? Don't settle from being strong or at what doesn't last. Weak at what doesn't last. Find what matters most. We moved out, and now I got some few people who followed me, and we have seen great work start over in that community. What am I telling you? Listen to the Holy Spirit. The way the Holy Spirit tells you to do things, do it. Put on the full armor of God. You won't be fought. You won't be intimidated. You won't be told this is not from God. You won't be even alienated. You won't be like excommunicated. You know, there are people who excommunicate others. I don't believe in excommunication. whereby they say, from today we have excommunicated you. Because you are not doing, what we are doing. Your vision is different and everything is different. Don't talk to her. Don't share with her anything. God, we let her be out there alone. Don't believe that. That's a work from the enemy to divide and destroy the people of God. Learn from your mistakes and failures. Learn. Don't let get stuck in regret, guilt and shame, anger and self-pity, or on despair after you experience failure or make a mistake. A warrior will go through sometimes some defeat, but you don't have to quit. Quitters will never win, but winners never quit. Praise the Lord. You have to stand strong. You have to hang on there. You have to stay, this is who I am, and do it anyway. Do it anyway. Keep in mind that no matter how badly you may have failed in the past, God still wants to work through your life to accomplish good purposes in the world. It doesn't matter how much you have failed. You know there are times the devil reminds you about how you failed. The devil tells you, whom do you think you are? Do you think you are anything? You are nothing. Just look at your past. But in Kenya, I was riding on an tax. We call them matatus in Kenya. And I saw a writing on the matatu. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. Because many times the devil wants to remind you about your past. Amen. It doesn't remind you about how you have made it. It tells you, don't you know that your marriage was broken just years ago? Don't you know that you are just a bad man? Don't you know you are so unkind? Don't you know how much you treated so and so? Just look at yourself. Just tell the devil, do you know you are going to the fire of hell? Do you know you are hopeless? Devil, do you know that you have no chances of winning anything? You are just useless. Amen? There was a time when the Chinese came over to construct the roads in Kenya. And every road in Kenya, when driving, you see something like under construction. Drive carefully. Then I was telling the church in Kenya, we are, the Lord has written in our face to the devil, under construction. Be careful. Amen. You are under construction. You are not completely complete. God is still on the business of making you. Don't accept the intimidation of Satan when he tells you this one is not fixed. This one is not fixed. Tell him, under construction. Be careful. Amen? Amen. God is on the business of constructing you. And keep in mind that no matter how badly you may have failed in the past, God still wants to work through your life. Surrender your life to God every day. Making daily habits of surrendering your own plans to God. Inviting God to use your life each day to accomplish his plans. Just let God be involved. As God shows you what battles he wants you to fight, do so in the confidence that God will use your life in ways that will powerfully impact the world. He will use you. Myself, I see a bunch of people in this house who have a lot of potential that God wants to use. I see people who are just like armed warriors, a combat, that are ready to combat the enemy in the fields, in the harvest fields, and in do exploits for the kingdom of God. You are not just gathered here for a comfort zone. You are in the battlefield. You are in the military. And God is raising you, preparing you, equipping you, and hammering you so that you can be able to march out. There is great things that are going to happen. You will not fail, you are going to win. It's not over until God says it is over. Maybe you think it is over because of your health issues. Maybe you think it is over because of the family crisis. Maybe you think it is over because of your finances. It is not over until God says it is over. The time is now. The time to raise the warrior in you is now. You are going to make it. And you are going to take it over. Just involve the Holy Spirit and the power of God in your life. I have seen it happen in my life. I have seen many, many wars that have come. I have 15 churches. And it was not easy. It was not easy. At the beginning, I've lost 3 churches. I started one, it was taken. I started another, it was taken. And another one, it was taken. Then, finally, God brought me to the Rehoboth. You remember my wife was saying, this is your Rehoboth. Rehoboth is a place of settlement. Isaac and opened 3 wells. And all of them were being taken away. They ended disputes. They were claimed by other people. And the Lord led him to a well that was stable, that was settlement, that was permanent. And that is where he was supposed to be. That is Rehoboth. God wants you to arrive at your Rehoboth, a place of settlement, a place where you relax and drink the water of the cold water that is for life. Amen. I want us to stand up with our feet in the name of Jesus and pray. And as we pray, you need to know that God wants to hammer you for a great season. We are at a time when a lot of things are happening, even here in America. We are hearing about the hurricanes, the earthquakes, also the 23rd of September. Some people are talking about the end of the world coming. I want to tell you that God is in control of everything. We have to know that we are in a combat with the enemy, and the business is not over until God says it is over. Amen. We have to trust him and spiritually look forward. God wants you to put the breastplate, the helmet, and he wants you to have that belt, the shoes, and move forward that you may fight the enemy. I want us to pray. Let's lift our hands up and just pray. Maybe you have been injured as a warrior. You have been bruised by the enemy. Tell the enemy, this is not over. I'm going to take it again. Don't look at your failures. Look at your success. Don't look at your weaknesses, but look at your success and what God can do. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, mighty God, I commit these dear ones before you, Lord Almighty. Today I've come to declare to them that, Lord Almighty, you are building a warrior in them. And Lord Almighty, they are not going to turn back. They are not going to show the enemy their back. But they are going to march forward and fight the battles of their life and win them. In the name of Jesus. Let them know that in the mountain, in the hill, where Moses went to draw his energy and to draw his strength, that is where they will get their strength, Lord. Father, bless them. Fill them with the anointing that they deserve. They will not be annoying, but anointed. They will walk with the anointing. God Almighty, the devil is annoying. But your people are anointed in the name of Jesus. Lord, let them begin to walk with the breakthrough. Let them begin to walk with the power and the favor from above. Lord Almighty, let the anointing flow. Anointing, anointing, anointing to their life. Anointing to heal them. Anointing to change their families. Anointing to bring their grandchildren in the ways of the Lord. Anointing that will break the yoke. Lord Almighty, we need to overcome every annoying spirit of the devil. God Almighty, that tries to bring us back to the things that waste our life. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba Shantara Rabba Kuria. Just speak to the Lord. You are carrying any weight? You are being overcome? You are feeling some heaviness in your life? Just speak to the Lord right now. Just release your heart to the Lord. And tell him those things that you are going through. And God is going to change you. God is going to change you for sure. And for sure, God is so encouraging. He is so forgiving. Pray for somebody that you think his life is in danger. He has turned away from the Lord. Maybe it's a member of your family. It's a battle. God is going to bring them back. God is going to bring them back in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our families. We, Lord Almighty, pray that you may reconnect them with the Lord. We pray that you may bring them to serve you today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand in the gap. Even, Lord Almighty, to call upon the members of our family, even the extended family who don't know you, God, that they may begin to know you and serve you and walk with you. Lord Almighty, we bless the children of Sonora. We bless the children of America. Lord Almighty, let them know you and serve you. Lord, teach us to know what battles we need to fight and what battles we need to ignore and what battles, Lord Almighty, we have to add value in our life, because whatever has value in our life, we will take it, Lord. We will take it, Lord. That whatever has value to the kingdom of God, we will take it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We thank you, Jehovah Shammah, you are God. We thank you, Jehovah, for this is the day that you are made. In Jesus' name. Ribobo Shantara Baba Krobo Shaira. Before I